Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim, Daf Dalet. We did the Mishnah yesterday, so we're beginning about 10 lines down from the top with the beginning of the Gemara. And the Gemara starts off by quoting the Mishnah, where it said, Afa pi shamru v'chulei. Now, that was telling us that even though that we don't have to go and take a mashkon from Noshim and Avodim and Ktanim, nevertheless, if they wish to, they are allowed to go and give the Matzis HaShekel. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. So the Gemara says, that implies Halit Boa Ein Tovim, but we don't force them to give. We aren't Toveya the money from them. The Gemara says, Hocho Atomar Tovim. This Mishnah really implies that we don't take a mashkon from them, but that implies that we do force them to give, and v'hoch atamar ein tovim. But here we just said that we don't go and force them to give. So Gemara says, depends. Kan b'shehevi shtei saros, v'kan b'shelohevi shtei saros. As we already pointed out yesterday, depends how old the katan is. When they're less than 20, we don't take a collateral, but we do want them to give, so we're toveya them. So it all depends on whether they have shtei saros. If they're above the age of 13 and have shtei saros, so then we're toveya. But if they don't have that, then we're not even toveya. But to take a mashkon, that we don't do unless they're 20. Then the Mishnah had said, Hanochri v'hakusi v'chulei. So this was saying that we don't go and take the matzis hashekel from either a nochri or a kusi. And then we said after that, that likewise, if they want to give the bird offerings that are brought by a Zava or a Zava or a Yoledes, so or a Chatos or a Noshom, we don't take that from them as well. So the second statement is the Seifa was talking about these Korbanos, and the first statement, the Reisha, is talking about the Matzis HaShekel. So I'm a Rabbi Ba. In parentheses we have Rabbi Biba, but we'll call him Rabbi Ba. And he said, Tiftor, now Tiftor is a Lashon over here to say that we should explain it as follows. As the Korban Eder says, Meforish de Masnisa. We're going to explain this as in the following way. Kiman de Armakusi Kinochri. If you learn our Mishnah as saying that the Kusim have the status of being a Nochri, so we understand, therefore, the Ispalgin, this is a Machlokes, whether the Kusi is like a Nochri or the Kusi is not like a Nochri. Kusi Kinochri is Diri Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the Kusim have the status of being Goyim. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kusi ki Yisrael l'chol davar, that the Kusim are considered like Yidden in regards to all halachos. So therefore, our Mishnah follows the opinion, the way we just said it, that we don't take from a Nochri or a Kusi, so we'll lump them together. The Nochri is not going to be giving the Matzis HaShekel, so too the Kusi is not going to be giving the Matzis HaShekel, and this therefore, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rebbe that Kusi ki Nochri. Then we have, however, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now, in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Elazar is known as Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar, our Mishnah is only talking about Nochrim. Masnitzo b'Nochrim, ha b'kusim lo. But, in fact, we would take from a Kusi who wished to donate the bird offerings of a Zav, a Zava, or a Yoledes, or a Chatos, or a Noshim, we would, in fact, take that. It's only the Nochrim that we wouldn't take it from. Ha b'kusim lo, we would take the Kusim's Korbanos. And I'll show you that this is right. It says in the following brisa, V'tani Kane. We dash in the following brisa, which tells us, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban. So Odom is l'rabos es hagerim. Odom comes to include in this ability to go bring a korban, gerim, people to convert. Mikem, as opposed to, that comes to exclude, l'hotzi es hamumrim. That comes to exclude an apostate Jew. Nebuch, a person that's going off the derech and doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rechmona Litzlan. So therefore, you see that Adam includes Gerim, and Kusim are Gerim. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds that, in fact, the Kusim are allowed to go and bring Chatas and Oshem, or the Kinei Zavim, or Zavos, or the Yoledes bird offerings. As opposed to Rabbi Ba, who said they're not allowed to. And where it says, our Mishnah seems to argue, though, with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Mastiso pligi a Rabbi Elazar. And here, Rabbi Elazar is actually called Rabbi Elazar, but it's the same Rabbi Elazar that we just had a moment ago. I'm not sure why here they named it with an aleph, and before they had him without the aleph, but it's the same Amora. In any event, our Mishnah seems to go against it, because our Mishnah says, Eim kabel miyodim, kinin zovim v'zovos, kine yolados, and the Chatas and the Yoshim as well. V'chiyesh kini zovim v'zovos b'nochrim. Now this can't be talking about the Goyim. The Goyim don't have a concept of being a Zav or a Zava. So obviously when it says that we don't accept the kine zovim v'zovos by the Mishnah, it must be talking about the Kusim, and it's not talking about the Nachrim. So this seems to be in direct contradiction to what Rabbi Elazar said. Shmuel says, no. El Reisha b'Nachrim v'Seifa b'Kusim. The Reisha, where he says, we don't take the Matzis HaShekel, that's talking about the Nachrim. And the Seifa is only talking about the Kusim. And therefore, the Kusim, we do accept their Kabbalahs from them. That's the way Rabbi Elazar would have to learn the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, yeah, Kainhu. In the parentheses, we have the Girsa, Vaha Kaini. In other words, yeah, this is correct. Nachon. This is, in fact, the way one has to learn it. Reisha b'Nachrim, v'Seifa b'Kusim. That the Reisha is talking about that we don't accept the Matzis HaShekel from Nachrim, but we don't consider the Kusim to be like Nachrim in regards to Korbanos. There, we don't consider the Kusim to be like Nachrim. Now, some had learned this as a question. El Reisha b'Nachrim v'Seifa b'Kusim, is that really what you want to suggest, that we're talking about two different subjects, a Reisha and a Seifa? And the Gemara answers, yeah, Kainu, Reisha b'Nachrim v'Seifa b'Kusim. Fine. Amar Yochanan, Amar Yochanan says, Betchila. What do we mean by Betchila? So, all of the Mefarshim of the Daf here say, Betchila means Betchilas HaBinyan, at the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash. When Ezra returned and they were rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, so Ezra said, we don't want to take any money from anybody who is not a Yid, because we're concerned that they're in fact donating not to really make the Beis HaMikdash, but to somehow ultimately make the Beis HaMikdash not be successful. So Betchila, at the beginning, when the Beis HaMikdash was being rebuilt by Ezra, so then, Ein Mekabel Mehem, we don't accept any money from anybody who's not a Jewish person, lo davar mesuyim, not when they're dedicating a specific item, and lo davar sheinu mesuyim, and even if they're not dedicating a specific item, even if they're just giving a cash donation, Ezra didn't take it. However, b'sof, if the Beis HaMikdash had already been rebuilt, and now there were non-Jewish people that wished to contribute, so then mekabel mehem davar sheinu mesuyim, if they wanted to just give a general cash donation, so then we would take it. However, if they wanted to donate a specific thing in the Beis HaMikdash, ein mekabel mehem davar mesuyim, we wouldn't take from them a specific donation. The Tiklun Charetin says that a davar mesuyim is a davar choshev shenikar v'nira be'en. It means it's something that's significant and important, and it's recognizable in and of itself. That we wouldn't take from them because digenayu. It's inappropriate that there should be something there that's known to be dedicated that wasn't able to be dedicated by a Jewish person. We had to go and resort, so to say, to taking money from the goyim to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's the opinion of Yochanan. So we would take a general cash donation, not for a davar mesuyim, after the Beis HaMikdash was built. But everybody agrees, before the Beis HaMikdash was built, while they're building it, you don't take anything from them. Reish Lakish disagrees with Yochanan. Reb Shimon ben Lakish says no. Bein betchila, bein besof. Even after the Beis HaMikdash has been rebuilt, ein mekabel mehem lo davar mesuyim, lo davar sheinu mesuyim. We don't take any donations. We want to build the Beis HaMikdash ourselves. Thank you very, very much, but we don't need your help in our building the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's even a general donation to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Even that we don't take. So this is the machlokes between Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Could you or could you not, after the Beis HaMikdash has been built, take a non-specific donation that's not recognizable? Rav Yochanan says yes. Reish Lakish says no. That is the machlokes between them. More questions, Rav Yochanan. We have the following braisa, masnisa, pliga, Rav Yochanan. The following braisa seems to argue with Rav Yochanan and doesn't permit you to go take a davar she'enu mesuyim from them even after the Beis HaMikdash is built. The braisa says, now we have the word en twice, so we just delete one of them. And if you look in the Nuschas HaBavli by Oz Beis, it says, Masniso Pliga Rav Yochanan, Detani. One of them seems to have been changed from, instead of in, should have been Detani. And it says then, Ein Mekabel Behen Hektish Unedova Lebedek HaBais, that we don't take from the Goyim any sort of a Hektish or Nedova. I'm not sure what the difference is here between Hektish and Nedova. It means a donation. We don't accept from them a donation, even if it's a Lebedek HaBais. And this seems to imply, the Korban Eda says, whether it's before or after the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is a Kasha and Rav Yochanan, who says we do accept a non-specific donation for them after the Beis HaMikdash is built. Smor says, no. Who says it's talking about after the Beis HaMikdash is built? Teretz number one, Bisar Law, you can go and answer this Kasha, Bein Betchila, Bein Besof. That when we say we don't accept from them, bein betchila bein besof, it only is talking about a davar mesuyim, a specific item. But a non-specific item, a general donation, while we don't take it betchila, we would take that besof, and therefore the brice is not against Rav Yochanan. That's teretz number one. Others have the gears here, ubavad shehu mesuyim, that which we said we don't take it at the beginning, again, is specifically only if it's mesuyim. Then we have the second teretz, which is in parentheses over here, but the gra is goris it, and we'll read it as the girsa that we have is part of the law. The second teretz is b'mesuyim, even though we are talking about a dove mesuyim, shafilu mo'osav, yulichim liyam ha-melech. There, if they're donating for something specific, you have to throw it into the yam ha-melech. In other words, you can't get any hanah from this. The girsa of the gra is that we're dealing here specifically only before the Beis HaMikdash was built. There, even if they give you something that's not Masuyim, afilu ma'osav, so yolichim yam ha-melech, that you have to throw into the yam ha-melech, because you can't get any benefit from their even non-specific donations before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Now the Gemara goes and takes Reish Lakish's view and asks on that. Reish Lakish said, "Rishim ben Lakish Shomar ben Betchila ben Misof." He doesn't allow any sort of donation. He makabel mihem lo dover mesuyim v'chule, and even a dover that's not mesuyim. So now the Gemara is going to go and ask a kashan Reish Lakish. So they have a Mishnah Masniso Pliga Rishim ben Lakish. The Mishnah argues with Rishim ben Lakish. Which Mishnah is this? So this is the Mishnah in Erechin, and it says, others pronounce it Arochin. The Tani we learned over there, Hakol Shavim Shein Nodrim V'Nidorim. An Erech is a set amount of money that a person donates. If he says, Erech Yolai, my worth on me, or Erech Yolai, this person's worth, which is based upon two things. It's only based upon the age of the person and whether they're a man or a woman, their gender. So therefore, there's a set value for every person based upon their age and whether they're a man or a woman. It's based on the Torah that gives us all the categories. So it says there in the Mishnah in Erechin, Hakol Shavim Shein Nodrim V'Nidorim. Everybody agrees that a guy is allowed to go and take upon themselves an Erech vow. If the guy says, I donate the value of Yankel to the Beis HaMikdash, so that's value, that is a donation. He has to give it. We accept that. And likewise, if a person says about a guy, I'm donating the value of the guy to the Beis HaMikdash, so then there's a certain value to that as well. Now, Reish Lakish seems to say that we don't take donations from Goyim, so this Mishnah in Arach in Erechin, it seems to be against Reish Lakish. Shumar says, no, this is an easy teretz. Betar lo Ola. We're dealing here with a carbon Ola. So if when it says Hakol Shav Mishen Nodrim V'Nidarim, it's talking about if a non-Jewish person wishes to give a carbon ola, he's allowed to do that. So the Gemara says that works out great. Nicha Nodrim Ola. That works out great if he says, I wish to go and give a carbon ola so we can accept it from him. But how do you have Nidarim Ola? Under what situations do you have that he gives an ola? So we have in the word lo in parentheses, but it makes sense to read it, Nidarin Ola Lo, but there is no such thing as saying that the guy should be like an Ola. How do you make a guy into a carbon Ola? So Mari answers, no, it could be. Ella, we're dealing here, Kisha Amar Yisrael Harei Alai Ola. The first way that we're going to understand this is when the Yid says, I should donate to the Beis HaMikdash an Ola. And the guy hears this, Vishama Nochri, and he says, me too. V'yomar, Masha Amar Zeh, a lie. He says, that which the Jew said, I'm also doing this. So this is what it means by Nidarim, that he is, so to say, being effectuated by what the Yid said. This is the way the Korban Eda understands this. In the Ramascha, lo b'shamar Yisrael v'chule. It says, harei zeh ki'ilu ha-Yisrael madiro, sh'arei ayidei neder ha-Yisrael hu-mischayim. It's as if the Yid forced the guy to do this. He said it, and then the guy said, me too. The Tikkun Chanitin has the exact opposite understanding. He has the Girsa, Kishomar Nochri. The Nochri said, Hare Yolai Ola. And the Yid who heard it, Shama Yisrael, said, Omar Masha Omar Zah Nochri Ze Olai. I will do the same thing. So he says, Hainu Nidorin. It means here Nidorin. Shai Deha Nochri Nidor. The Nochri caused the Yid to go do it. Exact opposite of the Korban Eda. In any event, that's how you'd have it being a Neder and a Nedova, and not having it be that Reish Lakish would say that we accept donations from a non-Jewish person. Reish Lakish says we never do that. Then the Gemara says, when the non-Jewish person goes, brings his karbon, doesn't he have to bring nesachim? So the Gemara says, Ve'eno mevi imo nesachim, doesn't he bring nesachim? Now, what happens if he brings an excessive amount of nesachim? What's the din? Umosar nesachim, lo l'klei shares inon. Don't we use them to go and purchase klei shares? So therefore, we have here an example. We're accepting money from the goyim because they are allowed to bring nesachim, and if they bring extra money for the nesachim, with the mosar nesachim, with the extra funds, we go and purchase klei shares. And therefore, nimtzo maybe davar sheinu mesuyim. We see that the non-Jewish person is allowed to donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. Kashan Reish Lakish. So where it says, hosiv, Reb Yosi, bar Reb Nun, the lotion of hosiv, The Tiklin Charetin says it is Teirutzi L'Reish Lakish. So this is an answer that Rav Yossi Bar Rav Bun gives to Reish Lakish V'Tanina. But we learned in a different mission in Arochin where it said over there Tanina, and we learned Nerochin V'Orchin that a non-Jewish person can be both the subject of an Eric Yolai V'Orchin, and they can say Eric Kacha on so and so Olai. Now, what do you do with this money? Isn't it lo lebede kabayis inun? Now, this seems to be a kasha on Reish Lakish. So, what's he going to say? Others learn this is actually kasha on Rav Yochanan, but we'll learn it nice and simple. Say, isn't this a kasha on Reish Lakish? So, how is Reish Lakish going to get around Nerochin v'Aruchin? So, the same way he's going to get around that, that's how he'll get around over here the question with the Moser Nesochin. So, heich ma da'at omar tamon. Mustn't you say over there to answer up that question? Reish Lakish says we don't accept donations from them. So here, clearly, it looks like we're accepting donations from them. So how do you answer that up? It means Lashamayim hu miskaven, that he's not intending it for the Beis HaMikdash. He's giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nu umei elehen heim boi lebedek habayis. What do you do with it then? So then you use it for the Bedek HaBayis. But it's not that the guy dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash. He gave it to Hashem. And now we are taking it and using it for Bedek HaBayis. That's why you can have Nerochin V'Orchin. Oh, same thing over here. Kein At Omar Avhocha. So too we'll say over here that when the guy gave the Karban and he gives the Mosar Nesachim, so Lashamayim Umiskabin, he's giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we're going to take it, we turn to the Dalet Omud Beis, and Umeilein, hey boy, now the Girsa that we have is Lebedek Kabayis, but the Girsa that we have really should be Likli Shores. Because we just said that the Moser Nesachim go to Klisharis and not really for Bedek HaBayis. So that's why it's funny. The parentheses are really the correct way to learn it over here. And that, in fact, if you look in the Vilna Gaon, he says, Umelein Heimboyen L'Klisharis, which is why I read that as the critical way to read it, because it also follows the Gemara that we just had, that the Moser Nesachim go for Klisharis and not for Bedek HaBayis. Oh, so that's the Teres. Just like for the Nerochim and the Orchid, we said it's Lashomayim and therefore, we take it for Bedek HaBayis. So to over here, the Moser Nesachim, we take it, it's dedicated to Shemayim, but we'll take it and use it, not for Bedek HaBayis, to be perfectly correct, it's L'Kli Shores. Then the Gemara says, my Ovid Lot. Now, the Girsa again of the Vilna Gaon is that we're not Goris that over here. If you look in Oz Beis, he says, in the Gos Hagra, Milos Ma Ovid Lot Nimchak. And B'tzorach Lomar, Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Pasa Lot. Then we just go straight into the Gemara. And that's the simplest way to learn this. There are ways to learn the Girsa Ma Avodla, but we'll just learn it nice and simple. So Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, Pasala, he explains his shita as follows. Lo lochem v'lonu livnos beis elokeinu. Ezra Sofer said, it's not for us and you to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's only for the Jewish people to build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we similarly have Rabbi Chizkiya. That's the Girsa we have on the side. It says Rabbi Chilkiya. In any event, Rabbi Chizkiya said, in the name of our Rabbi Simon, and he said, Shaul, he asked the following Shaila, Me'ata, based upon this, that we don't accept a non-Jewish person to donate to the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, Ein Mekabla Mehen Li'Ama Samayim, we shouldn't allow and accept to donate for the fixing of the Ama Samayim. That was a one Ama wide little rivulet that ran through the Beis HaMikdash, ran through the Azara. And we shouldn't allow them to go and donate for the chomos of the city, the walls of the city, the towers of the city. And likewise, it says in the Pasuk, Al Shein, because it says in the Pasuk, Shenamar, or we don't go with the word Namar, V'lochem, Ein Chelik B'gomer. Now this Pasuk is Elokei HaShemayim, Hu Yatzliach Lanu, V'nachtu Avadov, Nakum Uvanov, V'lochem Ein Chelik Utztokav Zikron B'Yisholayim. So this Pasuk from Nehemiah tells us that we're the ones that are supposed to do this, not somebody else. So this is in support of Reish Lakish. Now, the next entire series of the Gemara is all in parentheses, and the Vilna Gaon and others say that we're not Goreset, so we'll just jump down to the words that we have is Masnisa Rav Meir, but the Gra changes that around and says, Mai Taima the Rav Meir. What is the reasoning? And this goes back on the Mishnah. The Rav Meir had said that when a person gives the Machzis HaShekel money for two people, he has to pay two kolbonos, right? The kolbon, twice. So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Meir, because Rav Meir says, Kishem Shishiklo Torah, Kach Kolbono Torah, that just like the Machzis HaShekel is min haTorah, so too the requirement to give a kalbon for each machzis haShekel is min haTorah. So if you're giving two machzis haShekels, so then you have to give two kalbons or two kalbonos. And therefore, Kesavah Reb Meir, Binosin Shiklo Sholem, if you're giving an entire shekel, in other words, two matzahs a shekel, which is a selah, Shehu Chayav, now the girsa that we have is Bekolbon, but it really should be Shnei Kolbonos. And this is the girsa that you have in the Hagos Hagra, Shehu Chayav Shnei Kolbonos. And we continue. The Omer Reb Meir, because Reb Meir says, Kimin Matbeya Shalesh, Hotzi HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Mitachas Kisiz Gvodo. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand this concept of Machzis HaShekel, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him. He took out a Matbeya Shalesh, a fiery coin, to show Moshe Rabbeinu what he was referring to. V'Hero LaMoshe, and he showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is one of those things that Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show it to him. V'Yamalo, he said, Zeh Yitnu, like this you shall give, Kazeh Yitnu. And this is what Reb Meir is telling us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that you have to give a coin like this. But since the Machzis HaShekel isn't always the same value, so we have to always add on this kalbon to make sure that we're giving the full Machzis HaShekel. Then the Mishnah said, No san sela lito shekel chayiv shnei kolbonos, that if a person gave a sela, which is two Machzis HaShekels, so then he has to add on two kolbonos. Om Rabbi Elazar, here again we spell Rabbi Elazar with an aleph. The Rabbi Meir, this is the opinion of Meir. The Rabbi Meir Omar, Echo Shekel Shunosein, that whether you're giving a shekel, which requires one kobot, the Echod, now, the girsa that we have is the Echod Sela Shunotel, the Sela that he takes, and the Tiklun Chayatin tells us that the girsa should be over here. The Rabbi Meir, who the Omar Rabbi Meir, Echo Shekel Shunosein, the Echod Ledivrei Torah, Klomar, which means over here, the Rabbi Meir, Mechayev, Beis kalbonos echad l'shekel shenosein ubiyado yasela. So he only owed a shekel, which is the machzis shekel, and he paid for it with a sela. The hichlif etzal hamikdash, so he got back change. So therefore, he has to pay two kalbonos. This is the opinion of Reb Meir, the Tanya, and we have support for this. It says elu chayavim bekalbo v'chule. We learned in the Braisa that the following people have to play a kalbon. So kalbon echad is the opinion of the Tanakama. However, the Rav Meir Omer, Shnei Kolbonos, you have to pay two Kolbonos, one for the Matzah the Shekel and one for the change. Now, who is the opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Elazar? This is the opinion of Rav. Again, the gears that we have, Umar Rav, which again, in Yerushalmi, you often are missing the letter Aleph. So this should be the Omar Rav, or on the side it says, the Rav Omar. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Elazar, and Rav says, this is the Amora of Elazar ben Pedos, and Rav says, Diriakoli, in fact, that you have to give two Kobanos is according to everybody. It's not that the Tanakhama disagrees with Rav Meir. Everybody says, according to Rav, that you have to give two Kobanos in this situation. And we follow the Girsa in the Vilna Gaon in Oz Dalet, where he says, V'lo garsinon v'echod l'divrei Torah, and he says that the right Girsa over here should be Diriakol, Echod shekel shu no sein, the echod shekel shu no tell. That's the correct girsa that should be over here. This is the opinion of Rav. Where it says, Al daite de Rav, shlosha kolbonos inon. But wait a second, then there should be three. Because it seems that there has to be one min ha-Torah, so therefore, for the giving of your shekel, you get to pay the fee of a kolbon. For getting back your shekel from the change, you should have to pay. But then there's a din Torah that you should have to pay a third kolbon. The Gemara says, Taka, that's right. Also, Rav Yirmiya came and he said, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok b'shem Rav. They understood Rav as saying the following. Shlosh shel kobonos inon. Echot shekel shunosin. Echot shekel shunotel. Echot l'dvar Torah. So the way Rav understands it is that there is like a money-changing fee that you get charged when you gave the selah. So you have to give him matzah shekel, that's one kalbon. When you get the change, that's another kalbon. And then min ha-Torah, you have to add on a kalbon because it's not a full matzah shekel. So they actually are three kalbons that you have to add on, the way Rav understands Rav Meir. Now we go back to the second part of the Mishnah. We talked about ha-achin v'ha-shutvin. Now, we explained again, there's two dinim that we'll be dealing with. When you're being a nice person and paying somebody else's matzah shekel, so then they don't charge you the extra kalbon. That's din number one. And din number two is, if you're in a partnership with somebody else owning an animal, so then there is no din of Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema only applies when it's one person who owns the animal. Now, how do we view brothers that inherit an estate? So that's the din that we're going to be discussing right now. So ha'achin v'ha'shutfin, if brothers who are partners in their father's estate, so shechayev b'kalbon uptur mimaisa behema. Under certain circumstances, they're going to be chayev in paying the kalbon when the estate goes and pays their machzis ha-shekel, and yet upturim mimaisa behema, but they won't be obligated in maisa behema. Under what circumstances does this occur, that they are obligated to pay the kolbon when the estate pays? In other words, we view them not as being one person generously giving on behalf of somebody else and the kolbon would be potter, but we view them as paying their own way, yet they're potter for maisa behema because we consider them like partners. So that would be a situation where the achim or shutvin b'shecholku, they divided up the father's estate, and then v'chazru v'nishtaktu, and then they put back together the father's estate, and they repartnered on it. In this situation, we say that the original Yerusha, the Tfusas Habayis, is gone, and they're new partners. So therefore, if they're partners, so then each one is paying the Matzah Shekel on their own, and they have to pay the Kalbon. But if they're partners, then they're partner for Maisa Behema. And when do we say Shechayavim b'Maisa Behema or Ptur min HaKalbon? What's the opposite case when they would be obligated in Maisa Behema, but they wouldn't have to pay the Kalbon? That's B'Shelo Chokmah. They never divided it up. So therefore, the estate is paying the Matzah Shekel, and therefore, they don't have to pay the Kalbon. But if it's an estate, then it's considered one owner, and they would be Chayiv in Maisa Behema. Amar Rabbi Lazar, now here again, they leave out the Aleph. Again, I don't know why. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. In any event, Amar Rabbi Lazar tells us, V'hein shecholku gidoyim keneged tiyoshim, u'tiyoshim keneged gidoyim. That which we just said, that if they divided the estate and then put it back together, they're potter from Maisa Behema, because we consider them as if they're still a partnership in that situation. So Rabbi Elazar says that only applies if they divided up, that one of them got the Gediyim and the other one got the Tiyoshim. Gediyim are the goats and Tiyoshim are the sheep. So in that situation, we are going and saying that they're considered now that they're partnering together. However, Avol M'choku Gediyim Kinegi Gidoyim, U'Tiyoshim Kinegi Tiyoshim, if they split everything 50-50, you take some goats, I'll take some goats, you take some sheep, I'll take some sheep, so then, Hu Chalko Mishar Rishona, so via the principle of Brera, so then, this is what you got, was actually yours at the time of the death. So therefore, there was never a co-ownership from that moment in time. Retrospectively, it's shown that that's what you inherited. You got these goats, and your brother got those goats, and you got these sheep, and your brother got those sheep. So therefore, hu chelko mishar rishona, through the principle of Brera, we show that that's exactly what you got. And therefore, if they go and put it back in together, so the estate never really was divided. And therefore, the original estate is considered now intact again, and that's why they are considered as one estate, and there is a chiv of Maisa Behema, because they're not considered partners in this situation. That's the way Rabbi Lazar understands it. Rabbi Yochanan understands it, maybe the way that most people have understood it. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, afilu chokhu gedim neged gedim, u'tiyoshim neged tiyoshim. Says, what are you talking about that's not called dividing it up? Even though we say that, well, you take these sheep, I'll take those sheep. You take these goats, I'll take those goats. Nevertheless, kilku chosein. So we each now have our share. It's only now that we define which is mine, which is yours. And therefore, if they go put it back together, it's like two people that are partnering together. And therefore, upturim min ha-maiser. Therefore, Rav Yochanan says that they are considered partners and they wouldn't have to go and take off maiser behema. Kahu ditaninon tamon. And Rav Yochanan says that I have a Mishnah from Bechorus in support of what I'm saying, where it says, Halakuach, if you go and buy an animal, or v'shenita lo b'matana, or it was given to you as a gift, also, potter mi maisa behema. There is no din of maisa behema in that situation. Because in this situation, it wasn't born into your flock. You were given it, or you purchased it, and therefore, there is no putting it together with the rest of your animals to see that you have 10 animals to go and pay maisa behema. Now we have an additional qualification. The Gemara says Rav Chia, and then in parentheses says Rav Chizkia. So we'll just call it Rav Chia. And he said, Amar Rav Yirmiya, boy, he said in the name of Rav Yirmiya the following Shaila. The Lama less non Amrinon. Why don't we say, non again is missing the Aleph. Why don't Anan Amrinon? Why don't we say, Pa'amim Shein Chayabim, Bazeh Ubazeh? Sometimes the brothers in this getting their estate from their father, so sometimes they're Chayab in both the Kalbon and in Maisa Behema, and vice versa. We turn to Heyomud Aleph, Upamim Shem Tur Mizeh Mizeh, and sometimes we're actually parted from both of them. Under what circumstances are we talking about? Hech Avida, what are the circumstances? Again, we have a long parenthesis over here, which we're not going to read. This is all deleted in the Hagos, Hagra, and in the Korban or Eda. And instead, we just go to the end of the parenthesis, where it says, Cholku, if the brothers divided it up, Hanechosim, If they only divided up, let's say, the property that was in the estate, the nechasim, but not the behemos. So they still are sharing the behemos. So in that respect, it's considered that they're partners. But the nechasim, they divided it up. So therefore, if the estate pays for them, they're each a separate person. So they're each paying for their own chiv of machtzis shekel, and they'll have to pay the kabbal. But if they didn't divide up the animals, so it's considered one owner, the estate. And therefore, chayav and bezeh bezeh. So Rav Yirmiyah is telling us, here's a situation where they're actually chayav in both. But vice versa, if they were chalku a behema, if they divided up the behema, the lo chalku a senachasim, but they didn't divide up the property, so then, if the estate pays for them, so then, it's as if somebody else is paying for the machtzis shekel, there's no kolbon. And likewise, if they divided up the behemos, so now, they're considered two partners in these behemos, so patur mizeh mizeh. So why don't we say this as well? So where it says, Ami Rabbi Mana, Hadar di At Omar, Rabbi Mana tells us that which we just said, if they divided up the property, but not the behemos, so then they would be chayiv to add the kolbon, so that's b'shalohi sa behema ro. That's only talking about if the majority of the estate wasn't behemos. The majority of the estate is property, so now they're considered that they're each paying for themselves, and they'd have to pay the kolbon. However, avam hoysa behema rov, if the actual estate was mostly animals, so then hein ikur nechasim. So that's considered that that's the majority of the property, and then in that situation they wouldn't have to pay the kolbon. Now the Gemara continues to ask, Rabbi Ovin omer Rabbi Shammai boy. Rabbi Ovin says in the name of Rabbi Shammai the following shaila. In the situation where we said that they didn't divide up the estate, so then they're considered as one owner, so therefore the chayvim ma'aseh behema, but in regards to the kalbon, it's considered that somebody else is paying for them, and therefore they would be parted from the kalbon. Under this circumstance, Rabbi Ovin said that Rabbi Shammai asked the following, because they're considered like one person in regards to ma'aseh behema, it's still the estate, so therefore they're obligated to ma'aseh behema, at potrum in a kalbon, so that should automatically make them not have to pay the kalbon. Why are the two not considered like two separate people? When they pay with the seller, they should have to add on a kalbon. So Amalei, so this was what Rabbi Ovin said that Rav Shammai asked, and Rav Ovin himself responded and said, Lo shnayahi. The Tiklun Kanitin says, Klomar, v'chi lo shnayahu? Isn't this something different? The kivin de lo cholku, no sein seller echot shlema. Since they haven't separated, so when they give a single seller, the dain kayama tfusas abayis, since the estate is considered still intact, the lochoshiv kalvo. It's not considered like a loan, it's considered the estate is paying for them. And therefore, shu no sein seller acha shlema, when they're giving a single seller, the Gemara says, it is considered that the estate is paying for them, and therefore you're parted from the kalbon. More questions this and says, Me'ata, if this is true, afilu cholku v'chazu v'nishtatfu, then even if they separated and then they returned it all together, so then we should still have the same thing. And we delete the words chayavim v'maisa behema, but we're focusing on upturin mina kalbon, and they should be parted from the kalbon. We leave out the words chayavim v'maisa behema. That's not what we're not focusing on according to the gears of the Gra. In any event, if they recombined everything, so then why isn't it considered like the father is paying each of their machzis shekel, and they should be part of the kalbon? Yet, utaninan, the Mishnah says, the chayavim b'kalbon upturim ma'aseh behema, that they are in fact chayav in the kalbon. And while they are upturim ma'aseh behema, that's not what we're focusing on, but the critical factor here is the chayavim b'kalbon. So Gemara answers, Rabbi Ba b'shem Abba bar Rav Huna gives the following teretz. He shnei achim sheyarsu es avien, he shnei gisin sheyarsu es chamihen. He says, no, it's the same halacha over here, that if they became partners after they divided the estate, now when they come back together, so they're considered here no differently than if they were two totally unrelated people. For example, two brothers-in-laws. Brother-in-laws don't inherit their father-in-law except through their wives. So here you have two sisters that marry two people, and Nebuch, the two sisters died, they inherited their father, and then these two brother-in-laws, they were the ones who now are recombining the estate together. So even in this situation, they're considered like partners. We don't say that the original Tfusas Habayis is restored in this situation. So too with the brothers, the Shnei Achim. Even though they're brothers and they're inheriting, once they separated and took their inheritance, if they go back together again, we don't say that the Tfusas Habayis is still intact, and therefore, that they should be parted from the kalbon. That's why it says chayav and b'kalbon. Now, there are many other ways to learn this. It's a complicated little sugya. We'll just leave it with that and go weiter. We quote another braisa. The braisa says the following. Le'echon hayu ha'kalbonos noflin. This kalbon that is donated, where does it go? So we have a number of different opinions as to what this money was used for. The boxes of shekel was used, we said, to purchase the korbanos of that fiscal year. But what was the kalbon used for? So Rebbeir Omer, the shkolim. It was used, the same exact thing as the shkolim. It was used to purchase all the korbanos for that fiscal year. Rebbe Lozer Omer, he says it was used, l'nedava, it was used to go and bring korbanos for Keitz HaMizbeach, when the Mizbeach was empty, so they would use from this fund to go and bring korbanos. Rebbe Shimon Shazuri Omer, Rikua Zohav, Vitzipui, Lebeis Kodesh Kadoshim. They would use this money to go buy gold, and they would use this gold to plate the walls of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Next opinion, Ben Hazay Omer, Shulchanin, Hayunotlin, Osom Bischorin. That the people that were the money changers, so this is how they got paid. This was their livelihood. They would make their money by making the exchange between the seller and the Maxis HaShekel and back and forth, so this was their fee for their being a money changer. And finally, the Yeshomer, which is usually Rav Meir, says as follows, Lotzoaz Drachim. This was used for the costs for traveling. The money changers weren't always in Yerushalayim. They had to then bring the money up that they took, the Maxis HaShekel, they would bring it up, so they needed to travel, so this was their per diem expenses. This was their financial expenses for the traveling. As the Tichlum Chadetin says, Lohavi Yashkolim Yushalayim, the people that brought the Shkolim up to Yushalayim. Then he brings in another opinion, Yesh Mefarshim, Lotzaz Drachim Shal HaShulchanim, Shiyutchila B'Medina, V'Ochas Achagach L'Mikdosh, that this was for the travel expenses for the Shulchanim that were originally in the Medina, and then they came to the Beis HaMikdosh, like we pointed out beforehand. With this, we conclude the first perek. Hadron Alecha Perek Biachad Biadar. Hadron Alecha Perek Biachad Biadar. Hadron Alecha Perek Biachad Biadar. Again, it's interesting that even the Girsas over here in the Yushami are different. We say Perek Biachad Biadar in the Bavli. When we say this, we don't say the name Perek. We just say the name of the Perek, but we don't say Perek Biachad Biadar. Now we start the second perek, Halacha Aleph, and we begin with the Mishnah as follows. Mitzarfin shkolim the darkonos. When the people had to bring up the money from Chutz Laretz, so there was a lot of money, so they'd like to bring it into a larger coin so they wouldn't have so many coins to carry. So we said already the shekel, there are two shekels in a sela, and then there's two selas in a darkon. So therefore, mitzarfim shkolim l'darkonos. There would be four shkolim in a darkon, so you'd be allowed to go and exchange the shkolim for darkonos, because they'd have to travel from far distances to bring them up to the Beis HaMikdosh, so this way they'd only have to carry one-fourth as many coins. That's, you're allowed to do this. Then the Mishnah says, Kishem shayu shofros b'mikdosh, kachi yu shofros b'medina. According to this, the Beis HaMikdosh had these collection shofros, which were boxes that they would put the money in for the boxes of shekel. People could put their boxes of shekel in them. So do they have these shofros also in the Medina, either in the rest of Yerushalayim or in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and they would be able to go and put their boxes of shekel in there, and then people would go and bring the money for the boxes of shekel up to the Beis HaMikdosh. B'nei Yair Sheshalchu Eshikle, and now the Mishnah continues and says, if the people in the city sent their shekels with messengers to bring them to Yerushalayim, and then Nebuch, the Nignivu Oshiavdu, they were either robbed on the way, or they lost the funds through an accident. Now, if we're dealing with a Shomer Chinam, there's one din. If we're dealing with a Shomer Socha, there's another din, as we'll explain when we get to the Gemara. So if they were stolen or lost, so it depends when. Im Nitruma HaTruma, if they were stolen or lost, after the first taking out of the Truma Salishka was done on Rosh Chodesh Nisan to take funds from the collected Shkolim to go purchase Korbanos on behalf of all of Klai Yisrael, so if that already took place, so then Nishboin Legizborin, the people who were the Shluchim over here who lost the money or it was stolen from them, just swear to the Beis HaMikdosh, to the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdosh, that they weren't Poshea, if they were Shoma Chinam, or we'll see if they were Shoma Socha, that they weren't attacked by armed robbers, or that it was an accident that the funds were lost, like they were on a boat and the boat got capsized. So they swear that. And they're exempt, and the people from the town that they came from, it's considered as if they already donated to the Beis HaMikdash, because once you do the Truma Salishka, all the funds are considered as if they're collected, and therefore, they wouldn't have to go pay another Matzis HaShekel for every person that the funds were lost for. But in Lav, if they hadn't yet taken off the Truma Salishka, in Lo Nitruma HaTruma, so then in this situation, Nishboil L'Bnei Yir, then the messengers would go and swear to the people of the city that they had brought the funds from to the Beis HaMikdash, and they say, sorry, we swear that we weren't negligent, or that it was, if they were Shomasacha, that there wasn't armed robbers, etc. So they give a shvur to the Bnei Ha'ir, and now the Bnei Ha'ir, since it wasn't yet Trumas HaLishka, so their funds were never given, and therefore Ha'ir Shoklim Tachtei, and they have to go and bring another set of Machzis HaShekel. What happens if you find the money? Nimtzu, Osher Zirma Ganavim, they either find the money that was lost, or the Ganavim had a change of heart, and they returned the money. So now, you seem to have two sets of Shkolim, because in the situation where the Trumas HaLishka wasn't yet Torim, so then they gave a second set of Machzis HaShekel. But then they find the original set, so now there's two sets of Machzis HaShekel. What do you do? So the Mishnah tells us, Eilu ve'eilu Shkolim, they're both Shkolim in this situation. Vein olin lehem l'shon haba, and they can't use it for next year. They can't say, well, we prepaid next year's Machzis HaShekel, but it'll be put into the kitty, and it'll be used for other things. You can't use them both in the same Machzis HaShekel. Now, verse says, V'yasunos and Margolios, why do we say that you can only make them into these coins known as Darkonos? Go and make them into diamonds. Diamonds are even more expensive. So instead of having to carry up all these Darkonos, so maybe you trade in 10 Darkonos for a diamond. So Gemara says, no, because Shema Tazil HaMargolios, because maybe diamonds will go down in price. V'nimtza Hekdish Mavsid, and the Hekdish will therefore lose out. What previously was worth 10 Darkonos, now is only going to be worth 5 Darkonos, because the prices of the Margolios went down, and therefore we don't want to ever have Hekdish have a loss. Kahid the Tanin and Taman, because we learned this as well in the Mishnah of Bechoros, where it said, V'kula niftin v'kesef v'bishav v'kesef. In general, you're allowed to go and redeem something with money or shavik kesef. Chutz mishkolim, with the one exception being shkolim. You can't go redeem shkolim with shavik kesef. You must use kesef. In other words, you must use the darkonos over here rather than saying, well, we'll go and exchange it upon some utensil. Likewise, vein podim b'kelim. Now, the simple gerusa is that it's talking here about the machzis HaShekel, that you can't go and exchange it for kelim. The gerusa of the Karbon Eidah, however, is Vein Podin Maisa Sheni B'Kalim. It's talking here about Maisa Sheni. But the simple understanding, it's talking about the Shkolim. In any event, why can't you do this? Because if you do this, you're going to cause a loss in the Hekdish. We don't want to ever have a cause a loss in Hekdish. And therefore, just like we didn't do it over there, so we don't let you do it over here as well. Then the Gemara says, Mas Niso Betiklun Charetin. That which we said, that there were these shofros that were used both in the Medina and in the Beis HaMikdash, that was only for the Tiklun Charetin. That was only for the Shkolim of that year. Avo Tiklun Atikin, Betiklun Atikin, Lo Bidor. But when they were using for people that didn't pay the previous obligations that they had, and now they wanted to pay it, that they didn't have them in the Medina. They only had that in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tony Kane, and likewise the Brisa said the same thing, Atikin b'Mikdash, v'ein Atikin b'Medina. If you didn't pay your financial obligations from a previous year, you had to go to the Beis HaMikdash to pay it up. You couldn't put it into a shofar in Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash. They didn't have that for that. Now then, we had said before that if it was Nignivu Osha Avdu, it was stolen or lost, so they just had to swear that they weren't Poshea. Masnisa B'Shomachinam. The Mishnah is talking about a Shomachinam who's going to be potter, and he swears that it was stolen or it was lost because he wasn't Poshea. Avo B'Shomasachar Lo Bidda. This would not apply to a Shomasachar because he's Chayiv on Kineva V'Yaveda. However, the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Amar Rabbi Abba qualifies and he says, Vafilu Tamar B'Shomasacha. You can even say that this is a Shomasacha. Why? Because Nignavu, maybe the case of Gineva, was not a Stam Gineva, that a Shomachinam is part of, but a Shomasacha is Chayev. But it's talking here about Nignavu Belistim Ezuyan. It's talking about armed robbers. And even a Shomasacha is not obligated to go fight armed robbers. And likewise, Avdu, the case of Avdu is also, it's not talking about a case of a regular loss for which a Shomachinam would be potter from, but a Shomasach would be chayev. But it's talking about, now the gersa that we have is Kimi Shetova Sfinoso Bayam, but if you look in the Nuscha Sababli, it says Bimi Sheshoka Sfinoso. It's talking about somebody whose boat capsized, and that is considered an ones. An ones, even a Shomasach, is potter. Now the Gemara says, this shvur that you make, Amar Rabbi Yusti Bar Rabbi Simon, Rav Yusti Bar Rabbi Simon said, Asya Kiman Di Omar Tormim Al HaGovoy Ve'Al HaOsid L'Govos, that our Mishnah said that if the people in the treasury, the Gizbor took out the Truma Salishka, so then it's considered not only taking it out on behalf of all the people that already gave it, but it's considering giving it out on behalf of all the people that are going to give it as well. Biram, however, command the Omar, Ain Tormim Lo HaGivui V'lo HaMushkan V'alo Osi L'Gavos Lo B'dah. But it's not talking about that scenario. Now that's the Girsa that we have. The more correct Girsa over here is, as you see in the Nusus of Bavli, Biram Is Mandi Omar. There is an alternative Mandi Omar that says as follows, that it doesn't go like. According to the opinion, it says that even though they did the Truma Salishka, it's only for the funds that they actually got. But for the funds that they didn't get, or the funds that were even Mamushkan, so those funds aren't included, so then, Lo Bidah, this doesn't apply in that situation. Then the Mishnah said, B'nei Yirsha Shalchu Es Shishkleyen, if the people from the town sent their Shkolim with the messengers, and the messengers didn't do anything wrong, but it was stolen or lost, either it was a Shomachin or it was a Shomachar, so then they swear to them and they have to pay again. In the case, however, where it already had the Truma Salishka was collected, so then they swear to the Gizbar. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Rabbi Shimon he. This goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because the Rabbi Shimon Amar, Kachim Shuchayev Bachuyuson, Kinechosin Hain. Because if you're obligated in the thing that you send to the Beis Hamikdash, there's an Achrayis on you, so then you still have to make a shvua to the Beis HaMikdash. Because if you're not chayiv on the achrayis, so then there'd be no reason to go make a shvua to the Beis HaMikdash. So this must be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that if it's kachim, the money, the machzis shekel, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, so you normally don't swear to the Beis HaMikdash unless you have a achrayis on it. But since you have a achrayis on it, then you do have to make a shvua to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the opinion of Elazar, who says that our mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Divrei Akoli. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not only Rabbi Shimon, this goes according to everybody. Why? Mishum Shvuas Takana. This was a special gzeira that the rabbis made, that they wanted to make sure that the messengers were very careful. If they knew that this was the Beis HaMikdash's money, and they didn't have to go and make a shvua, so maybe they wouldn't be so careful. So, as the Karbon Eda says, Midah Raisa Potu Legarme. Technically, there would be no Chia, because we don't hold like Rabbi Shimon. However, even the Rabbanim say, the Tikkun law, Shalo Yizazulu Bishmiras HaHekdesho. So the people should be more careful over here with Hekdesh. So this was instituted Midah Rabbanon. Now the Gemara asks, Al Daite the Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. So this works out well, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Nishboyan like Yizborin. Bim Lav, Nishboyan Levnei Ha'ir. Uvnei Ha'ir, the people from the city then, Shoklim Acherim Tachteyem. We turn to the Amud Beis, and in this situation, everything works out well. We understand why everybody's swearing. Mishum Shvuas Takana, because Rabbi Yochanan says that this is a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. But, Elo, the Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Elazar, Nishboin Levnei Yir, Hadohi, the Rabbi Shimon. We understand why they have to swear to the people of the city, because according to Rabbi Shimon, they have a Chrayis, so therefore they have to swear to the people of the city. But why in this situation, Nishbon like Gizbarin? Gizbarin, Ma'ivet Atayu. Where did the Gizbarin come into this whole thing? Because the Gizbarin have absolutely no responsibility whatsoever. The Beis HaMikdash loses the money in that situation. So why are they swearing to the Gizbarin? It doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, Nishbon Levnei Ha'ir, B'maimud Gizbarin. That what we're referring over here to is they're not really swearing to the Gizbarin, but they're swearing to the Bnei Ha'ir in the presence of the Gizbarin. Ki hechi delo lach shedinu. So that the messenger should be above suspicion. The hechi delo lach shedinu. The people shouldn't suspect the messengers are doing something under the table over here. Alternatively, inami delo nishavu lu poshim, so that they should see that they weren't posheya. That's why we make them swear. And this way, even according to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, who said that this is Rabbi Shimon, we understand why they're swearing. They're not really swearing to the Gizbar, but they're swearing in front of the Gizbar. So Baruch Hashem, we accomplished another half of an extra daf over here to prepare us for Pesach. And Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to do a daf and a half as well, and we'll catch up another day for the times on Pesach that we won't be able to record this share. With this, we conclude today's share.